On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. In February, I spoke with the acclaimed novelist Anne Tyler about her latest novel, A Spool of Blue Thread. Anne was kind enough to invite me to her home in Roland Park, in the same neighborhood in Baltimore in which her book takes place. It chronicles several generations of a family called the Whitshanks, and Anne started by introducing us to the middle generation, Abby and Red.
Well, I think of them as the center of the current Whitshank family. As you say, they're the middle generation. It's a family of building contractors. They've been building houses in Roland Park and Guilford and Homeland for some 60 years or something like that. And Red and Abby are now, as the novel opens, they're middle-aged and they're thinking about their old age. So that's where I begin the story.
And they have four children, and then another one that sort of makes the scene in the middle of the novel. They sort of pick up another one eventually. Tell us a little bit about some of them.
Well, there is, of course, always the difficult child. One child who's just a bit of an outsider and a bit of a puzzle. And I think of the other three as being unlike each other enough so that I hope readers can tell the difference between them. There is the fourth child is a kind of oddly acquired child, so that makes, I think, an interesting story. I'm always fascinated by families that are makeshift, where you put together something, you adopt, you marry into, you know, something like that. So
one of the things I love so much about this book and all of the other novels of yours that I've read is that every character is likable. These are people that you're rooting for. These are people that you want to see happy and you want to see succeed. And in many cases, they do succeed quite nicely, and they are, in fact, happy. Is likability or sort of just general pleasantness in a character something that's important to you or something that you think is good grist for a novelist to imagine their lives with?
I suppose it's not essential for every novelist, but it takes me about 2 years to write a book. So I'm going to have to be living with these people for 2 years, and I just don't want to live with someone I dislike. On the other hand, there have been a few people that maybe haven't behaved well in my novels. In fact, the patriarch of this family is not entirely admirable. But I'm okay with that as long as I find some inner reason for their behavior and begin to sympathize with them.
The other interesting part about this book is that it goes backwards, if you will. Towards the end of the book, we hear about things that happened well before, in the generation before, what we've heard about for the first part of the book. Was that intentional, and did that particular decision to structure it that way, did that pose writerly challenges?
It began that way because I wanted to write a book that I never had to finish. I hate finishing books. I hate the turning in of the book, the editing process, the publicity process, everything like that. So I thought, well, I'm getting on in years. I could just write this book that never ends, and I could do that by having many, many generations. And then my concern was, yes, but eventually I'll run out of generations because, you know, I'll be caught up to date. And I thought, well, not if I go backward in time. So I'll begin with the current generation. I'll move back. And I think the earliest date that I actually show in the book is 1926. And then I suddenly realized that before then, I wasn't that interested in the people, you know. So I stopped the book. I had to end it after all.
And turning in the book really is tough. This is, you create these families, and you get to know them, and you get to be fond of them, and then you've got to let them go. You got to send them up to Knopf in New York and hope they do okay. That hasn't gotten any easier for you, has it, in the 20 novels that you've written?
No, it hasn't. And beyond the idea of saying goodbye to them is the idea, in a way, they've been my imaginary playmates for 2 years. And to expose them to outside eyes and have somebody say something cool about them would hurt my feelings. So, you know, again, it's on their behalf. I think, well, I don't want people to misunderstand them or say anything censorious.
Anne Tyler, her new book is called A Spool of Blue Thread. On 88.1, you're listening to Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Another great character in this book is the house
in which the Whitshanks live, and I think of it almost as a character in the novel. It passes from generation to generation, and it's a focal point. It's a real fundament of this family. Talk about the importance of place, the importance of the physical location of where people live and how they spend their days.
I think I'm very concerned with place in my books because I don't have much of a sense of place. I wasn't raised in one place or one house. So I very consciously anchor my characters in a place.
And do you think that's a reaction? Is that for lack of a better word, a deficit in your life? I mean, do you regret not having, grown up in the same room as a little girl and then as an adult?
I do. I envy Baltimore people who say that, they know their friends from nursery school.
Mm-hmm. The house is located on, am I pronouncing it right, Boughton Road?
Boughton Road.
Is that a real road in Roland Park?
No. Mm-hmm. But Boughton was a real person who designed Roland Park.
Right, so he was one of the planners, right? I noticed there was a Boughton Place, but I couldn't find a Boughton Road. So it's a real place, and Roland Park and Homeland and Guilford and this area in North Baltimore is an area that you know well. You've lived in this neck of the woods for a long time. It's a natural instinct to you, I think, to write about this area right around the physical place where you're writing the books rather than to travel too far afield. Why do you think that is?
For one thing, it's a very rich area in terms of texture and, grit. And I'm sort of amused by some of the people who have this very strong sense of the past. And I feel as if sometimes when I'm talking to people, I'm almost on a time machine with them. And then when I think about changing the place, let's say writing about someone in some other town, I just picture this. They'd be in a blank white sheet. They wouldn't have any tapestry around them.
But the tapestry is just something that you know all too well because you're living it every day.
Just raised my children here. Mm-hmm. I've been here for probably soon going to be 50 years.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Junior Whitshank in the novel, Junior and Linnie Mae. Junior is the father of Red, who is married to Abby, and they have the four kids. Junior is almost obsessed with this house that is owned by a family named the Brills. Why is the house so important to Junior, and is the importance to Junior, does that at all reflect its importance to you?
Junior is from a background we don't know at all at first, and it turns out to be a very iffy background. So to him, the house is a sort of symbol of class, quality. He built it himself, so he knows it's well made, and he just wants to fit in. And one of the things that I say in the book, or have him think in the book, is something I've thought myself, which is we are theoretically a country without class, but somehow there's a bit around the edges that seeps in. So he never really feels that he's made it, but he clings to this house, which is the symbol for him, and which he longs to pass down forever to his family.
On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. We're listening to a conversation I had with Ann Tyler about her latest novel, A Spool of Blue Thread. I was taken with a particular passage in the novel in which Abby remarks that time passes slowly when we're younger and quickly when we're older. And because if we're lucky, we spend so much more time being older than younger, Abby says, it all evens out. I asked Ann Tyler how that kind of trenchant observation comes to her while she's writing a book.
When I begin writing, it's so mechanical. I have none of those thoughts. I'm just trying to move my characters around on the page. And there's a moment when they begin taking charge, which I do know how airy-fairy that sounds, but most writers say the same thing. The characters take over. So at that point, for instance, Abby might start talking about time and her view of time. And I'm basically sitting back and saying, well, isn't that interesting? I never thought of that, I have been known to laugh aloud in my writing room when one of my characters comes out with a piece of dialogue, and it's not like laughing at my own joke. It's that they were talking, and they said something I never would have thought of. Mm-hmm. So,
is there a particular aspiration when one reads this novel or your entire opus. Do you have a particular aspiration as to what you'd like the reader to understand?
No, I'm not writing for them to get any sort of lesson or understanding. I'm, as I say, it begins as such a self-centered process. I'm writing to see what it would feel like to be somebody else. And then when I get it down, I think, so that it feels real to me, then I think I'd like other people to see what it feels like to be that person too. And that's it. I don't care if they take away a moral or a lesson of any sort.
Ann Tyler, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed talking to you. Thank you.
Ann Tyler's 20th novel is called A Spool of Blue Thread. We spoke in her North Baltimore home last February. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us on this Memorial Day edition of Maryland Morning with Sheila Cass. There's lots more after a break. Stick around on 88.1.